And now, enjoy this free JZO Modcast show.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of My Public Life as an American Nerd. We are back, coming back from a hiatus. It's been a couple months since we've done this, so I'm really, really excited to get back into it. I'm really, really excited to have you guys checking out the show again. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for checking it out. And of course, we have our usual cast of characters here today that I'm going to be introducing. I'm Kevin, one of your hosts. And of course, joining me today, Christian. How's it going, man?
Doing good. We'll insert the bam, 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 bam. We'll insert that audio later. I'm doing good. It's good to be back.
It's very good to be back. We've missed it. We've kind of been working on other things, like, you know, throughout. So, like, you know, there's other stuff in the pipeline and stuff not related to this show particularly, but it's nice to be back to this show. We could talk about the news, you know, some of the cool nerdy stuff that's been going on. There's been a lot since we've been not doing this, since we've been on hiatus, so I'm really, really excited to be back. And of course, joining us also is my son Elijah. What's going on, man?
Nothing much.
Kevin, when was the last time we did this?
Gosh, I want to say it was in January.
January. What was going on in January?
I don't even remember. I think we were maybe ramping up to the Oscars.
Right.
I actually think we did like an Oscar show.
Because I'm sure there was a lot of things that were released by that point.
Dude, there's been a lot. There's been a lot. We're actually going to talk about a couple of those things on today's show as well. Right. Eli, I wanted to ask you, have you actually been playing Helldivers?
Yes.
A lot? How's it going with that? How's Helldivers 2 working out for you?
I've been spreading democracy.
You've been spreading democracy. How are you liking the game?
Pretty fun. The automatons get difficult even on like the normal mode, but the bugs are easy enough to kill.
Nice. Very Starship Troopers-esque.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I'll give it a shot sometime. But on today's show, we're going to be talking about... this past weekend, CinemaCon took place... Or this past week, actually, CinemaCon took place in Las Vegas. For those of you who don't know what CinemaCon is essentially a place where movie studios, they come and they kind of show off their slate for the next year or two. They make announcements. It's essentially a big, like... Comic-Con essentially, but for movies. It's all movies. You have the press there, you have theater distributors there. You have a bunch of people there, and all the studios come and they show off kind of trailers, sneak peeks, things like that. So we got some good stuff from Universal, we got some stuff from Disney, we got some stuff from Blumhouse, Paramount, all the studios were there this year. So we're not going to be going through all the news because there's kind of a lot that dropped. We're going to be talking about the stuff that we find interesting and the stuff that, we find, you know, worthy enough to talk about and to, things that really appeal to us. So we'll be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about some MCU stuff and the X-Men 97. I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with that. There will be spoilers for that. So once we get to that, we'll let you guys know. If you haven't caught up, please catch up because you really, really, really have to. This thing is incredible. So we're going to talk about that and a couple other things, a couple other random thoughts. But first, let's go back to CinemaCon. So there's a couple things that really caught my eye. Number one, so let's start with, Blumhouse. Blumhouse is being Blumhouse, and Blumhouse is doing what Blumhouse does. So originally, they were kind of on a good track. They've been doing... Over the past couple years, they've been doing some very interesting and good, you know, good films. But their past handful of movies, maybe about five or six movies, just haven't really hit the spot for a lot of people. They really, really don't really seem to be experimenting as much as they should be or as they used to. And they're kind of going back to the well a lot with a lot of their properties. So I feel like the first big property that Blumhouse tackled that was an old property was the Halloween franchise. They famously got the rights to it. David Gordon Green directed Halloween, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends. Halloween 2016 was actually really well done. It was a lot of people loved it. It actually harkened back to the first Halloween. People were really, really excited for it. Halloween Kills, people were not as excited for, including myself. Wasn't great. Wasn't a lot of people just didn't like it and they hated it. Halloween Ends kind of fell with a thud. A lot of people hated it. I personally really, really, really love Halloween Ends. A lot of people will fight me on that, but I think it's an incredible movie. I think it's great. I think the Corey storyline is interesting. My only issue with it is they didn't go as far with it as they should have or as they could have with that character and with the franchise as a whole, with moving it forward. And then they took on the Exorcist, Exorcist Believer, which that's a whole other issue that we're not going to open up here. Wasn't great. Didn't really feel like an Exorcist movie, generic exorcism film. So with that, and then you have Five Nights at Freddy's was actually really well done. They actually took their time with that. They actually a lot of fan servicey stuff, which was great, which is exactly what you do with something like that. But their last couple of movies, Night Swim and what was the other one? With the invisible friends, the teddy bear.
Imaginary.
Imaginary. Didn't really ignite the box office on fire. I listen, if you were to tell me 2 years ago, I would have rushed out to go see both of those movies. Here we are sitting today, and I have not watched either one of those movies. I just don't care. Neither of them looked interesting to me. I'm going to see them eventually. I think Night Swim's on Peacock now, so
Yeah.
we're going to check that out. But at CinemaCon, the news came that Blumhouse is taking on the Blair Witch Project. They are revamping it. They didn't really clarify if it's going to be a reboot, prequel, whatever. They haven't really said what it is, but they said they have the rights to the Blair Witch Project and they want to make a new series of films focusing on the Blair Witch. Has some issues with that. Specifically, it's Blumhouse doing this again with some IP. They're not being original. They're just taking something old, trying to make it new again. Number one. Number two, the Blair Witch Project is such a product of its time and it's such a great movie, but I feel like it's also one of those things where you kind of had to be there, right, to experience it and to really understand the depth of it. What do you think, Christian?
First of all, I was dying to hear what you had to say about all of this. Second of all, absolutely. I don't think you can do this again. I think there are just things you can't. It's lightning in a bottle, you know, like the circumstances around the release of the original, the mystery. You can't repeat that in today's day and age. And especially knowing the IP, like I don't care if you make the greatest, it's never going to have the impact that it will. And that shouldn't be a reason to not do it. You know what I mean? But obviously take that into account. So I don't know. There's got to be a way to do something different, something new with the IP, I guess, but
I hope there is. I think there is. I think that. So I think the lore of the Blair Witch and the whole, you know, it's fascinating because. So it kind of did the same thing that a Paranormal Activity did, right? Like I can see them going like Paranormal Activity route where Paranormal Activity. The movies themselves weren't fantastic, but they built this really great lore, like the lore with Toby, the spirit, and the sisters and stuff like that, that kind of flowed throughout all of the films and kind of made a cohesive lore behind what was happening to the sisters, to Katie and her sister. And the whole reason for it happening was very fascinating. And I found that stuff the most interesting part of that franchise. I think that you can do stuff with the Blair Witch. Lore, because there's a lot there. I don't know. There's books. There's actually a series of video games that came out right after the movie came out that were this PC games that based around there were prequels essentially that were about like Rustin Parr and the original house and how he was possessed by the Blair Witch and all these this really deep, really, you know, that house that you go into at the end of the first film was his house. So you see all the handprints
Oh,
on the walls and everything, right? So it dove into that aspect of it, which was really cool. And I kind of hope that they do something like that with this. Like, you don't have to, first of all,
Right.
don't do found footage. Like,
Don't
just,
do, yeah, don't retry to retread.
yeah,
Right.
you can't do
Don't try
that.
to
No.
retread old things that won't work in modern day media.
Right.
Exactly. I think the,
So diving into the lore, I was absolutely
and I
right.
think that's the, that's really the only way you can do that. And I think,
Yeah.
you know, there was a 2016 reboot or reboot slash sequel, the just Blair Witch, which was
Right.
decent, but it also kind of tagged on to that found footage style. And I feel like that was part of the detriment of it. I don't think people gravitated towards that as much. But I don't think I, you can't get that lightning again. Like, just don't even try. And I have a bad feeling that they're going to try. They're
Listen.
going to try, which is going to, you know, Blumhouse's fate, you know, they did Paranormal Activity movies. Like, why aren't they going to go back to the found footage genre and try to do something like that again with a known IP like the Blair Witch?
Right.
I don't know. I have, I'm not super excited for it, to be honest. I think, you know, you just let it be what it is, let it be that special movie that people are going to be talking about in another 20 years as this really cool time in history, not just a time in history, but a really legitimately scary movie. Like, it's one of the last to me, like, movies that I think The Conjuring is up there, the first Conjuring, but it's one of the last movies that really, really had an effect on me. I couldn't sleep. Like, there were so many issues that I had because of
That
the Blair
one
Witch Project.
song from the Conjuring movies still
Yeah.
scares
Oh,
people
yeah.
to this day.
100%. 100%. But yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I'm not super stoked about it, but I guess I could keep my fingers crossed that it's going to be good. And we'll see what happens with that. So this one, this next piece of news, there's a lot of stuff that drops CinemaCon, but like I said, we're just going to talk about the stuff that really caught our eye. Christian, I have to ask you about this because I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on the live action version, the live action R-rated Ninja Turtle movie, the last based on the last Ronin. So it was just it was announced at CinemaCon. Not a lot of details have been released. As far as director and stuff, there's a producer attached, but we don't really have much information. We've read The Last Ronin. I'm very, very torn on this, to be 100% honest with you. I, first of all, I don't see the need to, I feel like you can legitimately pull this off at a PG-13. Especially when you look at the first film and how dark it was, and it's only PG. I know different times, different things, but that first film pulled off a lot of stuff for being a PG movie. I think there's a lot of stuff you can do for PG-13. I think the my problem with this is the idea that because it's darker and because it goes deeper, that kids or you know adults, you know young adults, teenagers, kids aren't going to want to watch it, so they're kind of bumping up that rating to a rated R so adults can watch it. I miss movies where people were actually those darker, remember those darker again,
Yeah.
like first Ninja Turtles, right? Like that's the kind of stuff we grew up on, and I don't see why this movie can't be that, but for this generation. There will be Ninja Turtle death,
I think
there will be
that's a
blood.
reason why people don't want like their kids who like love these turtles, like especially like Raph, Donnie, and
But
Leo.
it's still gonna be out there, and kids are still gonna watch it. Look at Deadpool. I
That's
know
true.
it's a different thing, but it's like all because it's rated R doesn't mean kids aren't gonna want to watch it. First of all, second of all, we're already getting a video game. We're getting a video game based off of The Last Ronin as well as the
I feel
comics.
like it should be one or the other.
My issue with this too is the oversaturation. I feel like it's going to be. I feel like The Last Ronin's gonna be the thing that I have a feeling there's going to be an animated movie that's going to come out in 10 years about this. You know what I mean? I don't feel like they're going to come up with, you know, this is going to be the next Ninja Turtle chapter that people are really going to focus on. What do you think, Christian? What are your thoughts on this? Are you excited for it? What do you think about the whole thing?
If you guys have been listening to the show for a while or listened to any of these shows, I'm very close to The Last Ronin. I've been talking about The Last Ronin since
Yeah.
like the release of like the first issue. I love Ninja Turtles. It's like one of my big fandoms. I do totally see already, you know, the oversaturation of The Last Ronin stuff. IDW's jumping all over it. They have like a whole new series, which I think it's great. Like, you know, jump on
Yeah.
this momentum, I think. And I do also, I am one of the people who will always say like Turtles are one of the few franchises that can tolerate having multiple iterations at a time. Batman does it all the time. You know, Ninja Turtles is famous for it since the beginning, you
Absolutely.
know. Does this need to be rated R? It really interesting to me, I think, because especially recently I've been really breaking down with the RoboCop franchise, and what that was, and essentially that was a rated R franchise that was marketed towards children.
There's even rated X version of it,
Right.
but yeah, that's insane.
Right. It was an ultra violent rated R property that was absolutely marketed towards children. Right. There were action figures. There was a Saturday morning cartoon of it. And you know, this there was us. It was our generation that we were marketed towards. And of course that would never happen again. Absolutely. Like there's no way. At least not outright. Right. Like, so
Right.
when like now when they make the action figures, they're like 17 and over, right? They'll put it back like right on the packaging. Which means nothing. You know what I mean? It's
Right.
oh, they put it in the electronics aisle and not in the toy aisle. That you know, but either way. I do think that it is part of the marketing. Is it necessary? No. And my issue is it's not a rated R comic book. Like
Exactly.
it's dark, it's violent, but it's like the themes are very adult. That's always been what the comics are. But it's not like there's any like outright nudity, there's no outright like gore necessarily.
No, there isn't.
I mean, there are times, and when they say live action, I'm assuming they mean live action in the way that the last Lion King movie was live action. You know, like it's gonna be
Exactly.
mostly there is. If you guys haven't seen it before, you could look it up on YouTube right now. Just type in TMNT Leonardo test footage, and there's some absolutely insanely gorgeous 3D animated. It's basically like. It looks live action, but like in kind of in an updated style of like the 90s comic book. I have a hope if that's what it's gonna look like, then that's cool. I'm just concerned that they put this in the right hands, and its substance and style, it's gotta hit that like perfect balance of like that John Wick. There's so many people
Right.
like that have tried to copy this, and only hit the style without the substance. You know what I mean? And it looks cool. I mean, right before we started recording, we just started talking about Snake Eyes, and not to like jump the
No,
gun.
please.
I actually really enjoyed the Snake Eyes movie. My big change to that movie is I would just retitle it to a Storm Shadow movie, and it's a much better movie. But that had a lot of style. It just to me lacked a little bit of the substance. If it wasn't for like that cast, it was amazing. Anyway,
No,
just to,
please.
like I think with this because this is there's obviously like a very cyberpunk you know aspect to this whole thing. This is essentially like Ninja Turtles in the Batman Beyond world or Ninja Turtles in the cyberpunk world. So there's a lot of like awesome stuff that could happen visually with this if it's done right.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. The radar thing, I get where you're coming from. Is it necessary? No, but I think that's they're trying to set a tone. So
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I just don't. I feel like you're alienating so much of the audience already. And again, we're no prudes here, right? Like, I'm totally cool. Even with my kids, like, we go watch.
I think that is purpose because yeah, just like you said, right now, just like between the Mutant Mayhem like sequel that's coming out, they also have the animated series that's going to bridge the gap. There's also just the other show that's going on. They have multiple titles going on in the comic book. There's a bunch of things, so I think they are purposefully like, yeah, this one is not for the kids.
For the
Like
kids.
they are purposefully alienating people.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm curious how it's all going to turn out, specifically with the video game and with all that stuff. And like I said, I feel like there's going to be an animated movie. Like it's going to happen. So yeah, let us know what you guys think in the comments. So let's move on to Joker 2. We got a Joker Folie
Claire
à
and
deux. We got our first sneak peek at it. We finally got to see Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn and or a version of Harley Quinn. And of course, Joaquin Phoenix is returning as Arthur Fleck. Am I correct? Yes, Arthur Fleck. as in the sequel to The Joker. I think so. Here's the thing. So I think the first Joker, it's incredibly, I think it's well made. I think it's well written. I find it boring, to be 100% honest with you. I
Agreed.
have, yeah, I had no, I watched, we watched it once. We didn't even watch it in theaters. We watched it once. And we were done with it. It was interesting. It kind of, it left an impression. It had its moments, and I see why Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor. Like, I can see, I understand. But otherwise, I just didn't care for it. This one, kind of the same thing, to be one, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I think Lady Gaga is probably the only, I think she's probably the only reason I'll see it. As Harley Quinn, I want to see what levels of just craziness she takes it to. The fact that it's somewhat of a jukebox musical intrigues me a little bit. I think it's interesting, and the fact that a lot of it's going to be happening in their heads, right? As we kind of saw hints of that in the trailer. But otherwise, I don't really care, to be honest. I'm not super stoked. Christian, what do you think? What are your thoughts on Joker? Folie à deux.
Again, for those of you who have been listeners of the show for a while, you'll know both Kevin and my opinions about the Joker. While I appreciate the big wild swings, it's just not my Joker. That's not the Joker that I want to see necessarily. I appreciate like a different take on things. And while that's the thing that I like the most, especially like with what they're doing seemingly with the sequel, I feel like it just takes it farther away from what I want to see. So again, cool. It looks gorgeous. On paper, like the description, I'm like, but then actually seeing the execution, I'm like, okay, I get it. That's cool. Can somebody also check on Joaquin? Because how what
Please.
are the state of his kidneys? Because how can this him and Christian Bale? Christian Bale, though, I've heard an interview and he now does this very methodically with a nutritionist and everything. But my God, man, the yo-yoing of his weight cannot be good on his insides.
Oof. Oh yeah, Christian Bale, his freaking transformations. I can't believe, I still can't believe he went from that to Bruce Wayne. Like,
You know what's funny?
it's crazy.
For those of you that don't know, he filmed The Machinist, and he stands at like 6'1", and I think he slimmed down to like a 160 or something, which is really not much for a person that height. And then he ballooned up to like 225 for Batman immediately. He got actually too big, to the point where the cast was like, "What are we doing here? Are we filming Batman or Fat Man?" But he famously yo-yos his in weight like tremendously. But yeah, I know he did that movie he as where
He
he was
doesn't
this.
yo-yo, he roller coasters.
Yeah, so he recently did that Dick Cheney movie a couple years
Oh
ago,
yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
right, where he had to gain a lot of
that's
weight again.
right.
He went up and down again for American Gigolo. He gained a lot of weight, went down again, came back up again. But yeah, during that he was like, yeah, usually back in the past he would just like just down tubs of ice cream. But he was like, yeah, I can't, I'm at an age now where I can't just keep doing this. So he's has a fitness trainer, he has a nutritionist, like he's gaining weight in a healthy way, if that's even possible, but to make sure that he's also able to take it off. So anyway, we're getting way off subject.
Oh.
That was what I was gonna say. I was going through my toy bin, my action figure bin, and I had what was his character in Thor: Love and Thunder? I forgot.
Oh, Gore the God Butcher.
Gore. I had a Gore the God Butcher right next to his Dark Knight figure. It just happened that they were right next to each other in the toy bin, and I was like, look at that. What a life, man.
Yeah, nice.
Crazy.
And listen, I understand the mental health implications of Joker, and like people try to explain it to me, like, yeah, I understand he was a troubled man and did some things, and I get that. And mental health is at the top of our list here. Like, we totally understand that. So it's nothing against that. It's just the movie just did nothing, and I feel like it kind of demonize mental health in a weird
Yeah.
way. I don't, that's a whole other situation that I don't really want
It's almost like it's as
to
if it's
do.
blaming the like this is the
Exactly.
reason why. And I'm like, there's plenty of people with mental health that I don't know aren't murderous psychopaths. So
Absolutely.
to make it seem like he just didn't get that under control, I know that the like, oh, how relatable. Like, and I know that's the part of it, like in a way, I just don't think it was like zone of interest level executed. You know, like
Right.
zone of interest was like, oh my God, that's terrifying because I can relate to it. But like the Joker was like, oh, look at he's just like you. Oh, if you don't get yours under control, you could might be a murderess. I'm like, really, Todd? Thanks.
Right.
But I mean, I get what you're doing, but
No.
and now we're gonna rewrite, we're gonna do different versions of existing music. That's always
Yeah.
fun. That's always fun to do a
Peacock musicals don't really hold up very well.
but I don't know, maybe Gaga's enough to make this work. So
Yeah, I agree. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
yeah. Also, by the way, I know if you're listening to this, you can't see this. Kevin is wearing one of the most awesome shirts
Oh, thank you.
I've
Eye to
seen.
eye forever.
So cool.
Max and Roxanne, it's all like 80s style. Yeah, I love it. One of my absolute favorites. So stoked for it. Thank you, Christian. I appreciate that. So let's move on real quick. We'll just hit up a couple pieces of news before we get to X-Men 97. This one really fascinates me. I am actually very, very excited about this. So it was announced at CinemaCon that Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park, are teaming up with Kendrick Lamar for a live-action musical that will be opening July 4th, 2025. So I've read a couple reports of people who have read the script, but I've also read that they don't really know, that nobody knows what the script is about. But the report I read from, like, I think it was on Variety and a bunch of other ones. Essentially, the story takes place at a natural history museum. A young African American, he signs up, he gets a job as a slave reenactor, and he finds out that his girlfriend's family owned his family back in the day. And that is what the basic plot of the movie is,
You know,
reported plot.
I
And
don't think at this point it isn't just the show that can't get canceled, it's the creators
oh, they
themselves.
won't. They
No, they're above. Nobody is.
yeah. They'll just come back and just make fun. It'll
That's
be
like
okay.
saying
They're on the
like
level as
Bill Burr can
Eminem.
get canceled. Like
Exactly, like
they're
Eminem or Bill Burr. Yeah.
this is what people expect from them. This is
Yeah.
not, yeah.
So I'm needless to say, I'm very, very intrigued, very, very excited for this project. I'm not a been I don't know much about Kendrick Lamar. I've heard some of his music. I don't know.
Okay, we got to talk about this right now
Please.
because on the t at the time of the recording right now, it is April 14th. For those of you that are listening and are fans of hip hop, you also know currently there's a lot going on in the world of hip hop. There's a big old Kevin, I don't know, you don't know about like the whole like Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar beef going on right
Eli
now.
does. No, Eli
I
does.
know some of it. I don't know exactly what's like going on
What is
though.
going on?
Okay, this started a couple weeks ago. Metro Boomin dropped a single with Future featuring Kendrick Lamar, and Kendrick Lamar dropped a couple lines that were veiled insults towards both Drake and J. Cole. Again, if you're fans of hip hop, currently J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar are considered the big three, right? Like I
Well,
personally am a big
I
fan of
know who
J.
they
Cole.
are.
Right. I'm a big fan of J. Cole myself. I've been following J. Cole since Young Simba. For those of you like 2008, like I've been on like since he was a kid. I love J. Cole, big fan. Kendrick, same thing. The first time I saw him in concert was back in 2012, with Schoolboy Q. It was a long time ago. So I'm not the biggest fan of Drake. I couldn't really care less either way. But either way, so he dropped the verse and then he talked about something specifically about Drake. He said, blah blah blah, big three, F that. It's just big me. And then so
Yeah,
everybody's like,
pretty much
ooh,
addressed
Drake.
it.
Because the real thing is like, you know, it, for those of us again that are older, remember the way rap beefs used to be
Oh,
back in the 90s, and people died.
people,
Like
yes.
people actually died. And you know, for those of you that are younger, We recently lost Nipsey. We recently lost XXXTentacion to murder, right? So it still happens. But these three people, the big three, have like never really, really ever beefed. They've all collabed at times before. There were
Yeah.
rumors that J. Cole and Kendrick were going to collab. But so now that happened. So recently, J. Cole dropped a verse on his new album, Might Delete Later. The last song on the album, 7 Minute Warm Up, he totally addressed everything. And then just like 2 days ago, Drake dropped his diss track. So it's everybody has been relating this to like the Avengers, and basically Drake is Thanos because it's like everybody versus Drake. So
Yeah.
like it's like they're taking sides, people are getting featured on certain songs, everybody's dissing this person. There's all this personal beef because there's like A$AP Rocky's involved with Rihanna. Rihanna and A$AP Rocky have kids, Rihanna has
Yeah,
kids
yeah.
with Drake, like all of this stuff. And apparently Drake just like obliterated again. It's just been nuts. This has been my whole TikTok. By the way, my TikTok has been for the last like month has been nothing but like J-Lo stuff, which I love. It's funny, it's all hell to me. The JoJo Siwa stuff, which I
Oh
love
my God,
because
me
it's
too.
so
Just
much fun to me.
nothing
And
but making
now,
fun of it.
right? And now all the Kendrick and J. Cole stuff for the last how many weeks? So yeah, that too, on top of like the Matt Stone and Trey Parker stuff dropping, on top of all of this stuff going on with Kendrick is so interesting.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know about any of that stuff. This just
Yeah.
fascinated me because South Park and Kendrick,
Yeah.
but like,
Yeah.
wow,
It's
that's insane.
huge. It's nuts. So
That is crazy. So yeah, we don't have a name of the project or anything, but we do know it's coming out July 4th, 2025. So keep an eye out for that. I'm very, very excited, and I'm kind of scared at the same time, but I think it's going to be incredible. Move over to a couple quick things from Paramount. We got Gladiator 2 footage with Paul Mescal as the main character. We don't know who he's playing. Who else was in that? Shoot, I can't remember who
I
else was.
heard that was amazing.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I've heard nothing but
Maximus is
great
then
things.
coming back.
No, I mean, spoiler alert, if you haven't actually
Oh,
watched all of Gladiator, so
sorry, Eli. That's
he's
a
definitely not coming back. But I'm pretty stoked for it. I think it comes out what, the end of this year, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
from what I mean, I don't know how I feel about Ridley Scott sequels, so. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I know he's one of the best. He's one of the greats. But honestly, I can't think of a movie he's done recently where I was like over the moon about. You know what I mean? Like, I can't
specifically sequels to like his
specifically
some of
speaking.
his beloved,
Yeah.
like
Blade Runner.
But he didn't direct a sequel. That was
that was Jenny,
yeah.
and I loved that. I
Yeah.
loved his sequel.
Did too.
I'm talking about like Prometheus. Like I'm like, ooh,
That's true. Yeah, he did Prometheus, didn't he do Alien
whatever it was after
or
that
not
one too.
Romulus, Alien Covenant as well.
Covenant. And I get that. I know he's trying to expand the lore and everything. I think that's fun. I just don't want to hear like Black Hawk Down 2. Like,
No. Alien Romulus looks freaking incredible, by the way. I am so ready for Alien Romulus.
yeah, return to form, right?
The
Like kind of.
Avaras. Yeah. Oh, it looks fantastic. It looks scary. It looks terrifying. I'm there. So I know we got a hint of this at the end of Rise of the Beasts with the G.I.
Yeah.
Joe thing, but we're officially getting a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover that'll be coming out in a couple years. We don't know, have any details, no director, no nothing. Christian, you were saying before the show you weren't on board with the, oh no, we actually brought it up a little bit earlier. You weren't on board with Transformers as much, but G.I. Joe, you're excited for them to make a comeback in live action. I think this could be cool.
We recently got that Snake Eyes movie with Henry Golding. Is that
Yeah,
his name?
that guy's in.
He's fantastic. I'm really excited about Storm Shadow. What was that guy's name? Oh, Andrew something
I
or
forgot his
other.
name. I
He's
really
the
forgot
lead
his
in
name.
the show Warrior,
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
also
I
fantastic.
wanna watch that, but I'm
We haven't
waiting
watched
for
it yet. I
you.
know, I know.
So good, so good.
Gotta
That
watch it again.
Movie was almost great. I would do some rewrites on that to make Storm Shadow,
A couple, yeah, absolutely.
to make not Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes is the real villain of his own movie. He's a complete a-hole in that movie. Anyway, And Storm Shadow leaves. He is really like the good one who extended his family and then just gets screwed over. I still want to expand on that universe. As not perfect as that movie was, I want to expand on that.
Andrew Koji.
Thank you, Andrew Koji. Fantastic. So, if I hope to God they're still involved with this whole thing. I'm really, really tired of Transformers. I think Transformers should just go to sleep for like 10 years and then maybe try then and bring it back. I think maybe right now is not the time. Maybe not. Look at what's going on in the box office. Look at what happened last year. Look at what happened. It's steadily declining. Like, just read the signs. And I don't think that peppering in G.I. Joe into it is going to help it right now, because G.I. Joe needs all its own help right now. G.I.
I mean,
Joe, I think, could be really cool.
Spielberg is coming back as executive producer, which he did for the first film. So the first Transformers film. So I'm hoping there's something there. But other than that, that's the only reason I'm even remotely excited for this.
It could be cool. I mean, what I think there's so much fun in the G.I. Joe lore, more so than, I mean, let's just kind of let, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I get what you're saying.
I'm excited for it. I didn't grow up with it like how you guys did, but from all the live action Transformers that I've seen, it could be really good.
I mean, you're like the audience there,
Yeah,
Andy.
you're the
Like
target
you're
audience.
like, and that and hearing, I mean, but that, yeah, that's exactly what they want to hear, right? So that's awesome. No, that's good that you're excited for it. I'm good. I'm happy you're excited for it because you're their target audience. We had our stuff, you have your stuff now, which is really cool. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's good. All right, so let's jump into Disney's presentation real fast. And then we'll get into X-Men and some other stuff real quick. Disney, they officially announced the voice cast of Moana 2 is coming back. So you got The Rock and I forget her name. I'm so horrible. I feel like a horrible person. But she was incredible as Moana and she's coming back as Moana. We didn't really get a whole lot of like news or anything from Disney. We got kind of a release schedule of things that we already knew was coming out. They showed first footage of Mufasa, which is the live action Lion King prequel.
I
Supposedly
ain't even
looked
gonna
really
try
good.
and pronounce that.
I think her name is Ali Auli Cravalho. I will learn how to say it by next time, I promise. But she's incredible. But anyways, release date stuff like that. But the Kevin Feige came out and he started talking about some Marvel stuff. So first couple pieces of news. Number one, they got 9 minutes. They showed 9 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine. Rated R as all get up. They said it going to Disney did not change a thing. It's still the Deadpool that we know from the past two films. Steve or Shawn Levy, the new director, has said that the 9 minutes that they did show was from the very beginning of the movie, and that he technically does not consider this Deadpool 3 per se. It's Deadpool and Wolverine. It's a very distinct own thing. But obviously the same actors, same characters are coming back. And then Kevin Feige also did a presentation on Thunderbolts. This is fascinating to me because Thunderbolts, he released the official logo for Thunderbolts and it had an asterisk at the end of the title. He did say that that is an official part of the title and it's super, super important, but they will not say anything until the movie releases why the
What's
asterisk.
the title? It's just Thunderbolts
It's just
asterisk.
Thunderbolts with the asterisk. There's a lot of theories going around that it's actually a Dark Avengers movie, or there's other things below the surface that
That's
will
so
be
cool.
once the movie comes out.
Very
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. I think it's very interesting. And I think it's the way Marvel, I think it's kind of what Marvel needs to do to keep us on our feet right now. So this year we have Deadpool 3 is the only one that's coming out. But then I think next year is when we're getting Thunderbolts. Fantastic Four is starting to film this month or next month. We haven't done the show since we got the official cast list. We do have a cast for Fantastic Four. We got Pedro Pascal. What's his name? What's the dude's name from Stranger Things? Jo Joseph Quinn. As Eddie from Stranger Things is playing
Also, I think
Storm.
currently dating Lupita Nyong'o.
Is he really?
Bruh.
That's dude. Like
I just saw this
they're
video.
in the day one. The Quiet Place, Day One together
Oh,
too.
is that what it is?
Yeah,
Okay, maybe
yeah.
they're not dating. I saw a video of them walking down the red carpet and somebody was
Oh.
breaking down the male gaze versus the female gaze,
Gotcha.
and using Joseph Quinn and how he was so sweet. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, we got Vanessa Kirby as Susan Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, Pedro Pascal as, well, obviously,
Reed
Reed
Richards.
Richards and
And Eben Moss Bacharach.
Ebon Moss Brack. Brack, was it Burr? Bacharach.
Bacharach.
Bacharach,
Bacharach.
yes, our favorite cousin from The Bear is going to be playing the
We
thing.
also have the Galactus.
Oh, yes. So I want to bring this up real quick because, no, well, we have a Silver Surfer. I don't think he's going to be Galactus. I think that's just internet stuff. We do have someone cast as a version of the Silver Surfer, and that is Julia Garner is going to be playing a variant or a version of Silver Surfer, not exactly Silver Surfer. So fanboys need to calm the F down
Yeah,
and relax.
relax, chill
It's
out.
totally cool. Julia Garner is an amazing actress. She's going to do fantastic. Let it go. But anyways, yeah, she's been cast as a variant of Silver Surfer. So, but that story leads directly into the actual Silver Surfer. So we probably most likely will see the Silver Surfer y'all want to see. It's cool. Y'all are fine. No one did anything to Silver Surfer. Ooh. Oh.
I bought a Bruce Banner action figure. In truth, I bought a Mark Ruffalo action
Oh,
figure
yeah.
because now they just have a Mark Ruffalo action figure. It's just a dude. It's Mark Ruffalo. Sorry, go
No,
ahead.
that's amazing. I love it. We all
I mean,
need a
you
Mark
can say
Ruffalo
it's
action
Bruce
figure.
Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hop right into the MCU, guys. We have some I know Christian was really excited to talk about this, so we are going to be talking about the MCU real quick, and we're also going to be talking about X-Men 97. So there might be spoilers ahead for those of you who have not watched the new episode. So we're at episode 5 at the time of this recording. If you have not watched episode 5, I implore you to go watch episode 5, go watch the whole thing, and check it out. But Christian, you had a lot to say about
Yes,
this.
thank you.
Let's do this.
Okay, so before I get into my X-Men, again, listeners of the show will know, I am a diehard X-Men fan. X-Men is everything is like my number one fandom.
Who's your favorite character?
We'll get to that. So, anyway, I also recently have been rewatching a lot of MCU movies. I know right now it is very unpopular to be a fan of the MCU, and rightfully so. This phase of the MCU has not been that great. So it's been fun. We also recently just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of Winter Soldier, which I think in many people's opinion is the best movie in the MCU. So it kind of started there, but since then I've been rewatching a lot of the MCU. You know what a good cure for not liking the new phase of the MCU is? Watching the old phases, because man, it still holds up. So here's the thing. I don't think that the MCU is beyond saving, obviously. And I think all people need to do is rewatch some old stuff and you'll be right there again, right? So whatever, I know that this phase sucks. I get it. But it wasn't always. What Endgame was is it's still such a crazy achievement to think about Endgame and like how much payoff that was after like oh, 10 years of movies to get to this point in that. So I think we can get there again. I think we need to rebuild. I think there were a lot of mistakes that happened after Endgame, obviously. But thank God now Chapek is out of the picture, and Feige is given a little bit more. Given some power back. That being said, also, it was really funny for like how many years people were like, I don't like Marvel now that Disney owns them. I'm like, what pre-Disney stuff were you so in love with that was so good that like,
Fantastic Four.
yeah, oh, good job, dude. Oh, cool. Please stop. Like, I hate when people do that. Like, I've also like really broke down because of that 10-year anniversary. It's In 2014, two of my top three Marvel movies dropped. It was Winter Soldier and Guardians 1 dropped in the same year. What a crazy year. 2014 to 2019 MCU is like peak, peak, peak MCU. Like, it was just like banger after banger. Even like their weak stuff, like Ant-Man, I still love Ant-Man.
Oh,
You
Ant-Man's
know what I
great.
mean? Like, and again, that's my
The
personal opinion.
convicts make it so much better. If they weren't in there, the movie would be 10 times, not 10 times, but a lot worse.
Right. So recently, X-Men 97 has been going on. I have been pretty excited for this. I know, like, now it's on everybody's radar, and I'm glad it's on everybody's radar. I for those of you that are like not X-Men fans and haven't been watching this, that's cool. For those of you that are watching, and you're enjoying this, there you go, man. This is the X-Men that I've been talking about. This is the X-Men that we never got to see in the movies. This is why I've never been a fan of the movies. It's a clear thing. God, if I had visual aid right now. It's clear to me that like the people who were making the movies never understood the X-Men, just
Never
visually.
understood the source material.
I agree.
Just visually. Like, I have a long lecture on like character design, and storytelling, and a big part of what makes character design so important is color. If you look at the X-Men, it's such a colorful team. And if you look at a picture of just the lineup of the first X-Men movie, the first three X-Men movies, they're all in black, right? Now, to be fair, right? Like, we were at a point in time where superhero movies were not popular at all, right? They were in the dumps. We can blame Joel Schumacher. This is like a fun talk to have, but we're not going to
I
talk
think
about that.
Blade probably reinvigorated it, right?
Right.
With
So
that gothic.
this is the big part of it, right? Like,
Yeah.
the movies had superhero movies as we knew it were. So by this point, like, Blade had released, also The Matrix had released. So of course, when you look at the X-Men, of course they're going to be in all black,
Yeah.
right? Because look at what was popular at the time. They also didn't trust that like the audience was going to be ready. They make a joke. What do you expect? Is yellow spandex?
I remember that.
Yes, Dick. Yellow
James
spandex is
Marsden didn't.
exactly what I wanted to see. Because we got to see it a year later with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man in full color costume.
Yeah.
So, but we never got to see that. So the fact that they took that away from the X-Men makes me realize that they didn't understand the X-Men, because color is such a huge part of their characters. Like, the only thing I think the movies ever got right was Mutant and Proud, right? Like,
Right.
the X-Men have always been an allegory for social justice. Like, they've always stood for like the disenfranchised. And that's the only thing I feel like that they did really well in those first three movies. But like, again, the color of their costumes were so important because this is the only way that they could self-express, right? This is how they represented themselves, that they were mutant and proud. When you take that color away from their costume, you take that away from them and you didn't know. Anyway, sorry, I'm ranting about that.
No,
So
I.
anyway, the X-Men 97 show is to me the best X-Men that we've seen on film, period. I don't care. It's better than the animated show ever was. Fight me on this. That go back and watch those shows. They're great, but they're still kind
Agree.
of hard to watch,
I
right?
agree. They are
Like, they're
very
better
hard.
than any of the other movies. The only movie that I X-Men movie that I really like was Days of Future Past. I think X2 was great. The first 10 minutes of X2 is better
Oh
than
my
the
gosh.
entire first
The whole
movie.
Nightcrawler sequence is
The
amazing.
rest of all of the X-Men movies are garbage. I like Logan. I like the Deadpool movies. That's it. But like, the X-Men movies proper are garbage. So
I
the
agree.
X-Men 97 show, though, is finally, and like, that the reason why I was always excited for this is because I've kind of had an idea of who's behind the scenes on this. There's one person in particular that I know personally that has been a part of this, who's a very, very huge part of this,
That's so cool.
which is really cool. So knowing that, I knew that the show was going to be good. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I don't think the world was ready, but now we do, right? Like, here's the thing, because I remember seeing those memes of like, you can tell what kind of X-Men fan they are, but about how they think about Cyclops. Oh, if you're a Cyclops fan, you're a cop. I'm like, I can tell what kind of X-Men fan you are by what you think of Cyclops, because if you're not a Cyclops fan, then you're not a real X-Men fan.
Right.
Because like, that's what the movies did for decades, for generations, like, made people hate on one of Marvel's greatest characters. So anyway, I feel like X-Men 97 is finally giving it enough gravitas and like love that it deserves. And hopefully we see that matched in the movies, right? Because like, I watched that episode not just in tears. I can't tell you I had to, I first of all, I watched it alone, but it was like audible sobbing. Like for after the episode ended, for 20 minutes, I sat there in silence, like still just trying to compose myself. Like after like 10 minutes, I'm sitting there trying to stop crying and then just like broke down. Like I to genuinely, it wasn't even me like putting myself in the place of the characters. It was me crying. Oof. Ooh, man, I feel it right now. It was me crying for the characters, like genuinely crying for the characters.
That
And God, so beautifully handled. So beautifully handled.
and it wasn't the yeah, so I felt the same way. Like I it wasn't the actual event that took place, it was the emotional impact that it had on other characters at that moment, right? Like specifically Jean, like that the her last line in that episode, "I can't feel you anymore," was like one of the most devastating things I've ever heard. When it just cuts to black and you hear that, it was done. Like I was like, and we were watching it, and like I couldn't believe it. Like it was one of those moments that was like, so I don't have as deep a connection to X-Men as you do. I like the comics. I enjoyed the comics growing up, but I didn't know a whole lot about, I knew who the characters were. I didn't know a lot until I had watched the animated series was kind of my X-Men into, like, it was really my big gateway into X-Men and who these characters were and what the story was about. I remember it, you know, being such a big part of Saturday mornings, right? It was like a Saturday morning thing we would do. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Pizza Hut had those, it was like the VHS tapes of the first two episodes. So like you had to, like, I think it was like $5 and you can get like the pilot and the other episode. It was like a movie, but they came in these really cool black VHS tapes. Those were the only, like, growing up, that was the, like, my prized possession. I was like, these are mine, like these are, I watched them over and over and over again. But it was also being young, being confused about so much stuff, you know, whether it's identity or whatever the case was, like these were characters that I really, really gravitated toward because they were going through the same thing I was. And I got the allegory really fast, what the X-Men were about, who they were, why it was such an important, why these characters were so important. And I gravitated towards that. I really grasped onto that. And just, you know, all the other stuff was fun. It was like, you know, Saturday morning cartoon stuff, but it was really deep. It was very, it wasn't like, it was kind of like Batman the Animated Series, right? Where it didn't feel like it had to sit there and hold your hand the whole time. Like watching back some of those episodes, they are hard to watch. They're not as good as the new stuff, but it's incredible that they actually had a serialized television show for kids, quote unquote, when it really wasn't a kid show. Like it was more. It, you know, it was it, adults were watching it, everyone was watching it, but kids were their main audience, Saturday morning cartoon. So I really, my favorite, and this isn't just because of what's been going on, but the character I really gravitated to, I practiced throwing freaking like cards, playing cards. Like that was part of my thing. Like as a kid, like you want to be Gambit. Like I wanted to be Gambit so badly. And I think it was the fact that he was not only was he badass, but he was pining for something he couldn't have, which kind of made all of us, we all kind of felt that way. I especially felt that way. It was just such an integral part of me growing up. And like I said, not as it didn't mean as much to me as it did to you, but it still meant a lot to me. So like seeing how well they brought it back and how that was my issue with the movies too, was they understood what the characters were about and what the stories were about as far as the, you know, being the underdogs and being the, you know, the voice of the disenfranchised and stuff like that. But they totally destroyed like Cyclops' character. Like after watching the movie, I had such a vision in my head after watching, after all the movies had kind of taken over pop culture and I was far enough removed from the X-Men animated series that I almost forgot what Cyclops, who Cyclops was for a long time because of the movies. Like the movies really came in and destroyed the character. Like they made him into this. He was just, you know, a lot of people joke, you know, not even joke, but talk about how whiny he was or how emo, whatever it was, you know. And it's like, that's not the Cyclops. That's not Cyclops. Like it's is totally opposite of what we see in the films. But watching this new X-Men 97 really brought the first, by the time I watched the first episode, we watched some of the older series. And then by the time the first episode came back, I was like, all right, like this is Cyclops. Like this is what I remember Cyclops being. He's not what pop culture, quote unquote, thinks he is now, right? Like you're talking about those X-Men fans who only watch the movies, or if you like Cyclops, you're a cop, blah, blah, blah. That's not who he is. Such a strong character, such a good character. But anyways, this last episode, absolutely devastating in so many ways. And the stories are deep too. It's not just, again, it's not just another animated show. I was having this conversation with one of my friends who was like, he didn't want to watch it because it was animated. It's just a cartoon.
I hate that argument.
And when I told him, like, dude, you have like this episode devastating me, he couldn't understand how animated something could like have that such an impact on
I
somebody.
haven't cried that hard in God knows how long.
Oh my God.
It was so cathartic. Like it was therapeutic almost. I needed that. Like I
Yeah.
haven't rewatched the episode because of it. But man, like it something happened like that hit me really hard.
Yeah.
Really, really hard.
100%. And I think yeah, if you guys haven't watched it, please watch it. Just great animation, great storytelling. 100% just exactly what it needed to be. And I do feel like the MCU needed this.
Shout out to Bo, shout out to Jake, shout out to the whole team over at Marvel. All of you guys working on that stuff. You guys, it's just I think there were so I don't know what people's expectations were. It doesn't matter. You guys
Yeah.
put everything into this. This is so much better than anybody asked for. And thank you guys again. It's a testament to their storytelling. It's a testament to their love for the source material. It's incredible. This is the best X-Men on screen.
100.
Done. So yeah. Pretty nuts. Also, yeah, there's we won't get into it. I can't wait to see. I have no idea where the show is going at this point. I'm so into it. I'm obsessed with it, by the way. I also have all the action figures
That's so cool.
that came out. Obviously I'm going to. I don't know what happened, but that Wolverine is worth like over it's like worth $120 now. What the heck happened to that? I don't know why. I got
You
a
watch
couple
the trailer
toys.
for the stuff coming up?
No. I don't want to see it. I don't
Okay.
want to see
I
it.
won't say anything then, but looks they showed very little of the stuff. They showed a lot of clips from what happened throughout the first five episodes, and then they kind of segued into some of the stuff coming up. So we'll see where it goes. Yeah, I still have no, even from that though, I still have no idea where the story's headed, especially after this last episode.
I still also love where they're going with Cyclops. So,
Oh, yeah.
but
It's going to
man,
be great. It's going
did they say who's okay, this is super spoiler.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you haven't watched the episode, maybe fast forward like a minute and a half. Did they say or do you know who did the voice for Cable?
No.
It sounded a lot like Josh Brolin to me.
Oh, I didn't even
I
think of
wouldn't put it past them to get him to do the voice.
that. That would have been really cool if they did. Yeah, I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I haven't heard anything about that. I didn't even think about that. I wonder if they did.
That'd be so funny.
And Deadpool 2. Yeah, no. So yeah, Eli's looking it up right now, but we'll see. I'm very curious about that as well. Oh no, Chris Potter. Chris Potter. He did a good Josh Brolin impression though. So absolutely. So yeah, I think that's our show for today. Thank you all for oh, I did want to just real quick shout out Monkey Man. I don't know if anyone's seen it yet, but have you seen it, Christian?
I want to.
It's great. Won't get into spoilers, but absolutely go check it out. Dev Patel is a great director. I think the story was good. A lot of people aren't really quite sure what to expect with it. They're like, it's John Wick, but it's not John Wick. It's got a lot of the slick action scenes and some he's out for revenge, and that's where the comparisons end. It's got some really, really great representation for certain groups out there, which is incredible. Very, very excited about that. Yeah, he did a great job. I think the movie could have used a little bit less shaky cam, but other than that, I think it's a solid directorial debut. I still have trouble wrapping my head around that that's what he picked to make his directorial
Chris
debut.
Potter also voiced the Gambit from the original series.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, go check out Monkey Man if y'all haven't seen it. New movie's out this weekend. We got Civil War. Have not seen that yet. So, who knows? We might go see that at some point. Coming up, we have The Fall Guy. We have the re-release of The Phantom Menace coming out May the 3rd, of course, for May the 4th. What else? There's a couple other things coming out soon. But anyways, we'll keep you guys updated as we
Tales of
watch them.
the Empire.
Tales of the Empire. Oh yeah, that trailer looked pretty interesting. Looked good. Definitely gonna be checking that out. That's an animated series coming to Disney Plus. Yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for checking out this episode of My Public Life as an American Nerd. Christian, where can they find you?
Christian Nakorda, Instagram, TikTok. Just find me on Instagram. Let's draw.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find me, Kevin Hoskinson, or Kevin underscore Hoskinson on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twix, wherever else you want to look. So try to find me, Bill Lego. Let's do some cool stuff. Trying to think if there's anything else we need to plug. No, I think that's it. All right, y'all, thank you all for checking out the show, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, take care of yourselves and each other. Bye-bye, everyone. Oh yeah. And stay nerdy. That's what I'm supposed to say. Stay nerdy, America. We will talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
There it is.